This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
When you hear that sound, you know you're in a purge pod. Welcome back to another episode of the Purge Pod. As always, I have my esteemed co-host here, the commissioner of the greatest league of all time, the one and the only Johnny. Johnny, how's it going?
Good, man. It's good to be back in the chair. Nice little vacations for both of us and, you know, some free time away from the heathens that are our league. But today's pod's gonna be fun, man. I'm excited for this one.
We got a good one because today, guys, we're gonna do a quick baseball, just give you an agenda. The movie before we get started is The Campaign, a movie that I have never seen with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis.
Whole bunch of people.
Galifianakis.
Huge cast.
Well, yeah, a bunch of people. Yeah, yeah. Jason Sudeikis, I didn't know was in it.
Everybody's in this movie.
A lot of people.
Dan Aykroyd's in it.
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, Brian Cox, Thomas Middleditch, Jake McBrayer. Like, this is like a who's who of comedians. And the movie's just trash.
Movie's garbage. I think Forrest actually loves this movie, which should tell you everything you guys need to know about Forrest.
It's with the manifesto.
His taste in TV shows and movies, just be careful, because I think he thinks this movie is hilarious. This movie is hot garbage. There were some good lines, and we're going to get through those in just a second. But before we get kicked off, we're going to go do a quick baseball update. And then we're going to go through league votes. We're going to do league votes that are kind of like overarching with the league itself. And then we're going to go into specific per sport votes. The goal here, and this was Johnny's idea and I love it. The goal here is hopefully you guys get an opportunity to listen to this while you're in transit to the draft. So whether you download it before on the plane, or I know some people are driving, we are going to use this time to kind of explain what it is, how it works, for each spot. And then, we will do a vote either Friday or Saturday. I think the original plan was to do it Saturday before the draft on Saturday, and Friday when we're all out, we can all use that time to really like push our own individual agendas, if you will. Johnny, is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And one thing to add here is we're going to do a little role play today. We want to get bias out of this, right? And so I've asked TJ to put on a hat he's not accustomed to, which is no change whatsoever. So he's going to take the position of the nay on every vote. And likewise, I tend to be a little too pragmatic in some of your guys when you come forward with some, suggested changes. I'm going to take the I'm all for it. I'm voting yes for everything. So that way, no one can claim that we took a shit on their vote or we were, you know, sandbagging on this pod. This is all supposed to be to help inform you. So when we get to vote night, you're not sitting there being like, oh, I didn't really understand what that vote was about. So that's the goal of this. Also, if I sandbag one of your votes or misrepresent what you're saying, hammer me, you know, on the text threads, and we can correct that Friday before we draft, just in case I misunderstood what you wanted.
And I think the thing to remember, and we'll repeat this again, is that these, whatever gets approved or whatever changes, is going to be for 2 years. We're going to keep this for 2 years. We're not going to do this every year. Johnny logs it. You know, we have obviously a text thread, but like that is going to be the change. So just know that if it passes and we'll go over what passing means and all that good stuff, but it would be for 2 years. So
we also broke it. There's some macro league votes that affect overall things. And then there's per sport. Any votes that go before football will not be for this football season. It goes into all the rules go into effect at the start of basketball next year.
Got it. Love it. Okay, let's jump into just a quick baseball update. Johnny, it's been a wild few weeks since we last recorded.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our predictions are kind of coming true, and some aren't. You know, you've got Gerbert finally went on their tear, right? We've been talking about it. They're categorically, their team was significantly better both them and Brad were in a situation where they were 9-10 at the time, but their teams were better than they were performing. Unfortunately for Brad, that didn't change, but Gerbert as
weekly,
early
bro,
as last
weekly,
week,
bro.
As early as last week got to second place. And then right now, as we're recording, they're sitting at around fifth because it's really tight. And, you know, shout out to Grants and just selling the farm and skyrocketing up, getting all the assets for next year and currently fighting for a buy. Really, really competitive, I think, in that top 2-3 spot. So, yeah, it's other than that, you know, you had two teams fold, you know, open up the doors. Tim and Sam decided enough's enough. And so they're actively selling. And just like the stock market, their prices are dropping.
But that's the thing that's interesting here is that Tim sold, but not real. Like he's soft selling, you know, like, but and his team is still good, but he's dealt with a lot of injuries. Obviously, getting rid of Betts is big. I actually would expect him to maybe make a little tiny move here. Maybe he does a deal with Sam to get close.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I pulled it up and I saw Churio just hit fucking, is that how you say it?
Churio.
Hit Churio. Fucking two bombs a day. Great. Love that. Just fantastic.
Kid's a stud.
I can't, it's like Grants. I think Hans is running that. I mean, I'm excited to meet you, Hans, at the draft. Dude, you're doing a great job, killing it. On the baseball side of things. You gotta give it where it's due. I know Donnie was mad we didn't give him love last time for like just getting set up for next year. It's
$1,000 club. First guy. Congratulations, Donnie. That's an impressive feat. Don't fuck it up. But you know, it's starting with that kind. Next year is going to be interesting, and maybe this isn't the pod to grab it on yet, but there is a very wide spread in dollars going into next year where you have a couple of teams approaching, if not at 1,000, and you have a couple of teams at like $500. So it'll be a fun year to see where that all lands.
Just to close out baseball really quick, the 4-7 spots are very close right now. If you look at live standings on the stat tracker, which is now Zach, myself, Gerbert, and Tim. So a lot of things can happen for sure. There's still 2 weeks, well, 2.5 weeks left to do glue this week. So it's going to be very interesting here. It's as if right now, looking at the live standings, Tim is in seventh place by a half of a game.
Yeah.
By a half of a game in seventh place. So,
yeah.
Really important matchups coming up. So it's going to be, and the last 2 weeks are crazy with who plays who. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. And they're like long term, like how this affects football. There's a lot of stuff at play here.
Yeah. I mean, I think people are rooting, you know, the thing you're looking for here is overall standing wise, right? That you've got teams like yourself and Tim. Grands looks to be kind of safe. I mean, they could run into something. And Zach is the one I think, you know, you got all of you want to keep in, but not push yourself out because Zach didn't do well in basketball. But if you can get him in, it keeps, you know, Tim or yourself or maybe a Gerbert out of that overall running. So you don't want Zach to fall out because if it does, it makes football a lot more competitive as almost all the basketball teams that went to playoffs are looking like they might hit baseball playoffs short of Brusser. That makes football very interesting. But let's be honest, you guys are all playing for second place in baseball.
Yeah, your team is, I mean, it's very, very impressive. You started slow, which is weird, but then you escalated very, very fast. It was quite impressive.
Shout out Ronald Acuna getting hurt and then my team getting better. So great.
Unreal.
Great.
Okay. Let's scrap these quotes on the campaign. I will say I watched it and there was a couple lines I thought were funny. The line when they're at the table and they have to Zach
disclose their secrets.
It has to disclose their secrets because he's going to run for Congress. And one of the kids goes, I went to the petting zoo and let a goat lick my penis. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Very good.
That was, you know, that movie wasn't bad. It's just like they went a little too far. I felt like it was a little too, they're trying to be like Talladega Nightsy in like a different format. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was.
It felt like they tried to do exactly like Talladega Nights again, just with politics. And some of it hits, but it's just a slog a little bit. It's a slow comedy, you know? And Galifianakis in general, he's hit or miss, I think, in his roles. When he hits it, he hits absolute bombs, you know? And then it's just, that one was kind of off. But yeah.
Let's get into the votes.
All right. So for the Macro League votes, I tried to put some catchy slogans on it so people could remember them. These ones are going to be the most league altering when I'm calling them macro, right? So the first one we're starting with is min contract vote. You know, so we've done 2 years here of minimal, like the keeper rules are $15 is the minimum you can keep a guy for. After year one, $7 increment. Now we're looking at that more, and maybe it's better if we went to a $10 minimum. You know, you can get some guys that you're pricing out that you want to keep, but you then change that to a $10 increase per year as opposed. One, base 10 math is easier for everyone to sort of understand, to, you know, get where we're going with things. But, you know, changing your keepers down and lowering it might be more beneficial. Maybe I have a guy that's an $8, $9 guy that I want to keep now for 10, as opposed to, and I got to pay 15 for him. It prices me out. So changing how we do our keepers from 15 and 7 to 10 and 10.
Okay. Contrarian view. The thought here is if it's not broke, don't fix it. I don't know if this is like a really broken policy. I like the idea that if you pick somebody up, that you have to make a decision, or if you make a trade for somebody that was picked up, you have to make a decision to keep them. At the moment, that's the case. And there's a lot of fringe guys, and I'll talk from experience, like McBride, who we just traded for in football. Like, we had to make a decision, you know, is 15, will he get drafted for more or less than 15? And we thought that he would. So that's why we ended up making the trade. And so I like the idea that there has to be a real decision made. And if you do keep him and he does well, then the increase next year is not going to be as much. Whereas if you do 10, I feel like there's a little bit more, you know, you don't, you're incentivizing too much, or it's too much of an advantage of making a really good pickup or trading somebody away, who was picked up or was drafted for under the $10 amount. That's the contrarian view from my perspective. I think 15 is a really good number. I think it's a really tough number to make a decision. I think if you're going to keep somebody that you picked up, like, it should be a tougher decision.
Fair point. The next vote, salary cap vote. So initially we moved to auction. This was something that it felt too complicated at the time. People were getting used to auction switching formats. But the idea here would be, everyone knows our dues right now are $750 for the year, $250 a sport. The vote would be that is now a variable slider with a cap. So you could still do your $750 for the year at $250 a sport, but proposing that you could go up to $1,000. You don't have to. You have to pay your minimums. But if you wanted to, for example, this next year, maybe I'm going in at $600 and like, oh God, I'm kind of short. I'm going to up my increase this year to, I'm going to do $300 a sport. I'm going to do $900. Or I've got good keepers that I want to make one more run with. I have to contribute more to the pot. Doesn't necessarily I'm going to be a win that year, but it gives you a little bit more flexibility. I love the idea of some teams are the Yankees and some teams are the A's, right? It gives you, I like the idea that you could chip in more and still lose and have someone talk shit to you for putting in more money and losing more money. So that's the salary cap idea. Your thoughts?
Contrarian view here. Why not just up it to 1,000 total for everybody? We just up the costs that are then shared across the board. I think that this creates an unfair advantage for those who are sharing a team, right? So like solo teams like Tim, Sam, for, you know, I don't know what Brad's agreement is. I don't know what Orr's agreement is, but like if you like $300 additional or $250 additionally is $125 a person, assuming it's split evenly, it's a lot easier to swallow versus just like, you know what, it's going to be a thousand total. And then the other thing is to like, you disincentivize or, you know, you disincentivize the idea of like saving, like, and really go like selling in a year and going for it the next year. Whereas for us, for example, like, again, I'm just going to talk from my point of view. If we have $550 or $70, whatever we have next year, like we now can go and add another $800 and $300 to make us competitive. And I think there should be a choice made that if you are going to sell the next year, then that is your choice. You shouldn't be able to add more to that. And if you were, which we do, then it should be taken away from the next season. But I think having it now, like would make more sense just to up the whole annual, and use that money that we're adding to potentially, give more of a, like a bonus to those who win the league, either whether it's regular season, which I think, you know, regular season is pretty impressive, so giving more money there. Yeah, that's kind of my thought of why not to do the sliding scale.
It's a good segue. I'm going to skip a vote to bring up one you sort of just mentioned, the regular season award vote. You know, right now we pay out $150 for winning a sport. The dues are $250, and getting first place through 20 weeks is arguably harder than getting first overall through 3 weeks. And so the vote here is to up that to $250. So if you win a sport, you at least cover your dues in that sport for the year in the first place. So, you know, one thing that hasn't happened yet, we have not seen a first place regular season team win the overall. A lot of that's due to the fact that people start buying at the deadline to bolster their teams. So this more insulates those teams that really did put together a good season to get their dues back, because we're not quite seeing that payoff hit yet in the first, you know, five seasons five individual leagues that we've done to get that first place award up to $250 to cover yourself.
I just want to make a note. I'm actually pro this, but if I was to be a contrarian, I'd say you don't play to get regular season first place. You play to win the whole thing. They don't give you trophies for being the number one in the Western Conference. Your a benefit is that you get the bye. So I would say if I was a contrarian vote, like more of the money should go to who wins the whole thing, versus the first place vote. But I am clearly pro this idea, but that's the approach I would take if I was against it.
Okay. I'm adding a vote live that I forgot to add based on this as well. Trade deadline vote. You know, moving our trade deadline from 2 weeks before the end of the regular season to something like 60%, a significant increase, right? I'm going to put it back to what we just talked about. Right now, a first place team that's won the regular season has never won overall. And I'm going to directly attribute that to the fact that I can buy my fourth place team to be the first place team so late in the season. I think no other professional sport has a trade deadline this late in the year that we do it. And it's for that reason, right? You kind of got to get your team in line so you can game plan on how to beat each other. And so the recommendation would be something we should talk about. We can always refine where we want things to be as we get further into these votes. It's more, let's get the premise in place. We can debate that live on what the actuality is. But the premise here is like, let's move it up. Let's move it to around the All-Star games, right? Of these two sports, maybe football, right after the bye week, you know, week 8-ish, week 9-ish type bye weeks, you know, would be kind of the recommendation is we go 60% of our regular season trade deadline.
Again, I'm pro this idea. I think this needs to happen where it gets moved up to where it is or where it currently is. I guess the contrary view is like injuries happen. Like, especially in baseball, we're seeing a lot of injuries. Other sports, we see a lot of injuries. And sometimes, you know, if there's an opportunity to make a trade, you can do it. This decentivizes the amount of trades that you can do. Obviously, there's more time, more trades can happen. Players can then sell for next year, allowing them to have a little bit more money. So that's why I think why you wouldn't do it. But again, I am very much pro this idea.
This was a fun one. Two end of the votes here that are very new. I'm going to save one of these for last because it directly impacts the draft, which we're all looking forward to in a week. An idea of a franchise tag vote. So right now, you know, we're still playing. It goes in line with the one we talked about earlier. You have $15 minimums. You have $10 increases. But one thing that's occurring in our league is guys get higher and higher and higher, and they start pricing out, right? You start getting a situation like Jokic would cost $100 to keep. McCaffrey would cost $70 to keep. And next year, when we have situations where people are going to have thousands of dollars, that's going to get even more exasperated. So the idea here is once per year across all sports, you could franchise tag a guy. And all that does is you pay the market value rate that would be set if we were drafting today in a normal league with a $250 budget. So for example, Jokic wouldn't go for $100 in a league tomorrow if we were starting all with the same budgets. He'd probably be around $70, $65, whatever that number is. So if you franchise tag, you're not getting a deal. You're just getting for a reasonable market price, but you're not overpaying for him to keep him.
Interesting. I haven't heard this one yet. My initial thought would be like tough luck. Like we're all in the same boat. If someone like Donnie has saved a bunch of money, then he should have the right to be able to use that on Jokic for $100. That's his prerogative. And if he's worth so much that he goes back into the draft, which is this is a big Musser thing when he was here, he was like saying, this is going to keep happening. These guys are going to go for a lot of prices and the guys who have the most money are going to be able to get them. Then that's like, that's fine. That's like, you really have to make a choice if you're going to keep somebody or not. And if you want to keep a guy for like Wemby, if Wemby is going to be held for like 10 years because his price goes up, then that's their choice to be able to do that. On the flip side of that, like what does Forrest and Joe get to keep Wemby for $30 for how, like forever then? Mm-hmm. Like there's no timetable on this. Like if they can just keep doing that, then I just don't see rookies would be drafted. And
part, just to clarify, is not the proposal. So if Wemby's at 30 and you franchise tag, he would go for what he would go for now. He'd go for $70.
Okay.
So it's only to address the high end guy that got bid up because people had money to just bring them back. Like, I'm going to franchise tag him back to realistic value. So just
so
to clarify.
A choice of either franchising or what his value is based off what you kept him.
And you only get one per sport, okay. Right? So you only get to reset one guy once per year. And that would be, but just to clarify that point, I'm also not saying I'm pro this vote. I'm just pointing out that clarification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would be my thing is like, it's, you know what? That's, if you're going to be selling a bunch of, then, and you're getting a bunch of money and you want to spend it that way, then that's what you do. I don't think we should have incentives.
Okay. You know, the phone line right now is blowing up. I had leaked to a few people that I was doing this and the votes are coming in. And a new vote that had just came in, a dynasty vote. Look, we I know why we did three keepers when we were the parliament. You did three keepers. You weren't giving up anything to keep those guys. But in this league, does that make sense? You're giving up a dollar value to keep anybody. So in theory, couldn't we expand keepers? Couldn't we make it a little bit more dynasty based and be like, yeah, you have to pay dollars out of your current budget to keep a guy. So, you know, why cap ourselves at three if there is now a loss to your budget? So expanding our keepers into more of a dynasty feel, it doesn't have to be a full dynasty. We could talk about that part of it, but why three keepers? Why wouldn't we start pushing this more dynasty and being like, you can keep whoever you want. You're paying something to keep them now.
Not a terrible idea. I think the thought process here against it would be we want to have as much parity as possible by limiting it. You get that. I understand why this makes sense, but I still think there'd have to be a limit. And maybe it's as simple as like you get 9 keepers total across the teams, right? Instead of it has to be 3 per sport. Maybe that's an alternative agreement there, because you can do 1. So your choice can be 0 to 9 across the board.
Interesting.
Which I think would be a little bit more interesting. It could make drafts not as exciting, right? Like if we wanted to be like, no one, screw it, we're going to keep 9, like, or 8 guys in basketball and 1 in baseball. Like, I don't know. I mean, it could make it a little bit less, like, I mean, I think this draft for football is going to be really exciting because there's going to be a lot of people have different types of money and they don't know. And I think they're all in the same boat of like, we don't know what was spent, or we know is being spent. We know who's being kept for the most part. I don't love the idea of like there being not a lot of change across the board. I think the point of the auction was to give people the opportunity of access to guys they normally wouldn't be able to get. And by limiting it 3, you do that.
Last macro league vote, probably the most fun of the votes, not so technical, having anything to do with really our league, the combine vote. So this one in San Diego, for those that don't know, we put out a survey of some athletic competitions that you all rated yourselves on a 1 to 10 scale on how well you would do at darts versus Pac-Man versus flip cup or cornhole. And the idea here is making it a fun annual event that also has a piece of monetary compensation on top of it that comes out of or goes in addition to your actual draft budgets. So if you win the draft combine, get second place, get third place, there would be like if you're first place, you get $7 that gets added to your draft pool for the next year. Or second place would get you additional $5. Third place would get you down to, say, $3. You know, something that isn't a league-altering or breaking event, but will also add some more fun, some more reason to try, you know, these team-based competitions and try to, you know, up the amount of money and intensity we have. We're all pretty competitive to begin with, but adding something else on top would be kind of fun.
Sorry.
You're good. I kept talking it out on your proposal. This is for the combine, so there'll be a nice pause before this part. If you want us to pause again for a second or two, you can snip in between.
Yeah. So my contrarian view of this is that you're just a giant pussy and you're scared of competition and you just don't want to have fun. You don't believe in fun. So if you're voting against this, you are a fucking piece of shit. And I just don't believe that you think we should have fun at drafts. I mean, that's all I pretty much got for you there, Johnny.
Phenomenal role play there. just spot on that contrarian view. that ends our macro level stuff. And again, to bring this back around, you know, don't get caught in the minutia of voting to make this work. Stay at the big idea. Does the big idea work for you? And then we can get and we can refine those into how do we make this work for the league, right? These ones, get in the minutia. This is very quick individual hitters. We'll start with football. Removing kicker bonuses for long field goals. Right now, if you kick a 50-yarder, you get 5 points. If you know, that's doesn't change on the scoreboard. If Justin Tucker comes in, why are we awarding 5 points for field goals? That's what you're supposed to do. You're on the field 4 plays a game. You get 3 points.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a contrarian I'm going to be on these ones, but the point is like, no, it's 50-50. Those are harder. I mean, maybe the way to mix it up is like, if you miss a field goal, then then you lose points. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I just don't know what the, I don't think that's a great idea, but I like the idea of it just being 3 points across the board. I mean, you don't get more, you don't get more points if you score a 60-yard touchdown running. Right. You don't. So if we were to include bonuses, TD bonuses as a thing, then I would be down for it. But I think all field goals should be 3 points. I agree.
Okay. Removing kickers altogether. You know, a lot of leagues do it now. Let's go two flexes. Let's get rid of two. Let's get rid of the kicker. You know, let's not all spend a dollar or Brad, you know, spend five on your kickers and just go to two flexes instead. Get the kicker out. Don't even worry about it.
The contrarian view here is I want to see Brad draft a kicker every year in the fourth round or pay $5. Sorry for it. So that's my thought process.
Just a reminder, football league winner Brad is how we should refer to him on forth.
reigning
football champion.
Reigning football champion. Yes. I need to see that. So,
yeah. Okay. That's good. Change quarterback passing touchdowns from 4 points to 5 points. Look, I'm getting tired of hearing about running quarterbacks who suck at the quarterback position scoring more points than guys who are throwing 40 fucking touchdown passes. And the way you combat that, Justin Fields had 800 rushing yards. Great. He threw 20 touchdowns and 14 picks. That guy shouldn't be the 10th overall quarterback as he was 2 years ago, right? This is being, we're going to reward quarterbacks who throw touchdowns. We want to see passing touchdowns. And your top guys, your Anthony Richardson's, you know, your Lamar Jackson's, they're still going to get theirs. They're still going to be, they're dynamic enough that they're going to be up there. This is to get that fringe stuff out. So a guy who's thrown 35 to 40 touchdowns is getting rewarded appropriately for throwing that much and not being the 17th ranked quarterback.
Yeah, the contrarian view here is like, then you have guys like David Carr who are worth way more than what they should be. Like, it doesn't reflect him as an actual quarterback in real life. So that would be my perspective. Not to say I'm against this idea, but you could see that David Carr is going to be drafted a lot higher than a potential running back or wide receiver, which I don't know if I would agree with.
Do we maybe couple that vote then with something like, yeah, but if you throw picks, it goes up a point too, right? So you're trying to reward more passing touchdown, but penalize guys who are just out there maybe doing like a Joey Harrington. I'm throwing three touchdowns a game with two picks.
Yeah, the Jameis Winston 30-30, the guy, only person to have 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. I would be down for that. Yeah, sure. I think if we're going to raise the points, then we need to mimic it needs to be a bigger deal if you throw more interceptions.
Got it. Last football-specific vote. This one came in through the text line moments ago. Adding in individual kickoff return touchdowns because the recent rule change is probably going to result in more individuals returning touchdown kicks. So now it's going to be a significant statistic, and you might start seeing more marquee guys taking over the position again due to the lower risk of injury without having guys barreling at you.
I like this. Okay. So I'm trying to pair this into another area. So like, I like the idea of the individual player getting it. Especially if we go like flex slot and like you all of a sudden now have Deebo Samuel who now does punt returns and or kick returns and there's a higher chance. I mean, there's specialists now anyways who do this, but I like the idea for like a bye week. If you need somebody, then you have, you know, then versus the defense getting points for it. I've never loved the idea.
Your boy Sims Jr. would be in this group from Denver. Marvin.
Yeah. So like, I just wouldn't love the idea of like, and also the other part too, like, which is, I was trying to see how tandem into this, and maybe this is a separate vote. Like if there's an interception returned for a touchdown, the team that threw the interception, I don't know if we can do this, should not be penalized for those points allowed, unless that is something that currently exists in Yahoo and happens. But like, if there's a way that we can do that, that's just like silly.
We have that setting on. If your offense is on the field playing defense, you don't lose overall points for that. The defensive team that scored the touchdown though will get the touchdown points. Same with kick returns right now. So right now we currently do have defense special team spot. So this return kick, that special team. We'll
let's say I have the Niners defense slash special teams and Debo Samuel. And Debo Samuel returns this for a touchdown. Do I get double points?
Yes.
Okay.
And then one thing we want to consider is, okay, if we're going to allow individual, then do we remove it from defense special teams? And do we really just make it our defense spot is truly a defense spot and special teams is at the individual level? That would probably be on the table as well to talk about.
Well, yes. So I think that's something to discuss. What about adding a, and this has been discussed before, a defensive player?
I forgot IDP.
I think Sam has been a proponent of this, but I think that's an interesting thing to consider. I don't know if it's, I don't know if that means you scrap the defenses altogether. If you have to do that, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I've never played with an IDP before, I don't think. So I'm not sure how I would like that, but it's an interesting thing to be discussed amongst the league.
I was in a league that didn't do a defense spot, but did three IDPs.
Oh, interesting.
And so, there's a method to the madness, right? Obviously, your corners are going to get more touchdowns than your linebackers and linemen, but then your linebackers get probably the most tackles and your linemen got the most bonuses with sacks and fumbles usually being. So there was a strategy to it, but it made it more like I don't pick an individual offense, although that is starting to become more popular where you pick not a quarterback, an offensive quarterback. So if your QB goes down, you get the backup immediately. Is becoming a thing, but
that's like a super flex thing. If you do super flex where there's two QBs, you're not choosing the QB itself. Right. You're choosing the team in case they go down for injury. Yeah. I think last year that was brought up a lot because there were so many,
all the QBs were dead.
17 backups that were playing, which is
insane.
And they
were all the big guys, Burrow, Rodgers, Cousins, like everyone, Richardson, everybody for a time went down and year end down. That was bad last year. All right, that's the football specific. I'm going to keep baseball for last because it's a little bit more contentious. Basketball, we only had one vote. It was adding another bench spot. Benches were a little thin, kind of resulted in some instances where it made it a little easy to pick up guys that could significantly alter head-to-head matchups. And so adding another bench spot, it just makes it thinner out there on what you're going to go grab and keeps the team that's rostered really where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, this one's a little tough because my initial reaction is if you're going to add a bench spot, then get rid of a starter spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's the add drop is pretty brutal towards the end of the year. The one thing that with basketball that I felt like we may have discussed was was there a quality across the starters for all positions, meaning like guard, centers, forwards, like I felt like there was always a discussion around, do we want to change the positions overall to just like guards, forwards, centers?
I went back and
instead of point guards
and I couldn't find what that vote was. So thank you for bringing that up.
Okay.
I went back and looked. Right now we have guard or point guard, shooting guard, guard. And the pro for that is it's kind of awkward how they assign positions anyways in the NBA nowadays, right? Like, tell me that LeBron isn't a point guard or that Giannis isn't a center is incorrect. But, sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't. And so making it a little bit more homogenized and you get three starting guards, three starting forwards, two starting centers, or I think it's a starting center and two utilities, you can kind of just get around the nuance of why the hell is Damian Lillard being listed only as a point guard right now? Why don't I have shooting guard eligibility so I can start my guys? That was one of the votes. I just couldn't figure out what it was. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because the NBA changed their all NBA. So now there's no specific positions.
Okay.
It can just be any five guys, which I don't think we should do that here. I mean, I guess the pros and cons of this is that there's more of a premium for, I guess, I don't know. I maybe there isn't. Like,
I can do your con on this if you want. There's some positions based on the strategy you're rolling out that it's more strategic. If I have to go and be like, God, I need a power forward right now.
Yeah.
Who's going to give me good percentages, and it does take a level of strategy away when I can just be like, oh, this guy's guard eligible. I can put Giannis as my starting guard now. Like, you know, and you know, this is a bad example, but there's situations like that where you have a guy who's truly a forward.
If he's center eligible and guard, like he's super valuable, right?
You can
put him in any spot, which I guess doesn't really change. Well, because he's probably power forward.
Right. When it's specific, I still can only put him in two forward. Or three starting spots as opposed to all of my starting guard spots, you know? And so it limits deployment, which does make it easier to really push across your strategy. If you're loading six categories, it's an easier way to do it. So contrarian wise,
I'd want to know what the league thinks about this one. I think some people would have some good thoughts. This one would be a good discussion.
This would be a good debate.
I feel like.
All right, into baseball. Yeah. Four very contentious ones. I'm going to go least to most. All of these ideas are mine. Adding a fifth IL spot. Baseball, we heard it enough this year. Everyone was injured. Everyone's arms were falling off. Guys were having to make really tough decisions of dropping guys because they didn't have enough spots. So adding a fifth spot.
My thought is we're all dealing with it. So fuck off. It's everybody's dealt with injuries. It's happening. I want to say I've dealt with injuries the worst this year more than anything. And I've had to make some tough decisions and it would have been a lot easier for me to, have an extra spot plenty of times. I mean, I had to drop guys I didn't want to drop. I think four is a really good number. And I like the idea that if you want to pick somebody up and keep them on your IL spot, it needs to be worth something.
Okay. In addition to this, adding an additional starting pitcher and relief pitcher spot. Frankly, the pitcher positions are very deep in our league. And you're able to go out there and pick up very good guys that we're a 10-team league, right? So there's the quality in baseball, it's too good on the waiver wire. I can lose weeks with a stud cast because you can go up and pick a guy who in most leagues probably wouldn't be available, right? You shouldn't be seeing guys that are 85% rostered in Yahoo, you know, overall leagues on our free agent wire consistently. And we have that right now.
This one's interesting. My counter would be this. Why wouldn't you just do, instead of an additional starting pitcher and relief pitcher, why wouldn't you just do two? Why wouldn't you just do? My goodness. Fucking great. All right. I'll take that from the top, hopefully.
Yep.
Saved. I don't know what's going on with my internet, dude. It's driving me nuts. I paid for like the highest one and it still bumps me. And I have
you think I go on a Starlink system. Maybe?
I have it already. I do have Starlink. I have both.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it's still, I don't know. Lana has zero issues and I always have issues. So I don't know what's going on.
Weird.
Anywho, okay, so my thought was on the SPRP would be, why wouldn't we just add two just pitcher spots that you could use however you want?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that could also be on the table too, right? But I think the original vote said SPRP because we don't have a generic pitcher spot. I would guess that, this is my vote, I guess. I don't have a problem. I want it to be, I'm trying to solve too much good quality on the free agent wire. So, yeah.
I mean, you're taking 20 guys off, which right. I think is a wise move.
Yeah.
I like that actually.
Two last votes as we're getting close to the hour here. Remove net wins because it's a bullshit statistic. Too many times does your ace go deal a gem and then the bullpen blows the game or vice versa. You know, it doesn't really reflect the pitcher.
I mean, also, sorry to interrupt you. The big part of that too with net wins is like now with the new extra innings rule, a guy comes in and there's a guy on right. second and mm-hmm. it really screws up the net wins.
Right. Your relievers are much more susceptible to giving up a loss because they gave up a single in the 10th inning. And replace that in a few ways. But the way I'm going to land on it is we're going to add back quality starts and couple that with K through nine. So, you know, that way you're rewarding starting pitchers that go the distance, but you with K through nine on the board, you can't just stream guys in because if you start doing that, your K through nine drops. But obviously that gets us to six stats, but a lot of people have been complaining that OPS needs to be rewarded, that on base and extra base hits are not at. So basically the proposal overall is we get rid of net wins and we add in K through nine, quality starts, and OPS. And we go to a 6x6 format to help kind of balance it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't really have a contrarian view here because I think net win is crap. I just don't know what the right solution is. It seems like K through nines make sense. Even though we do already have Ks, but I like having the average there.
Yep.
So if you like pick up, you know, if you pick up, maybe it incentivizes a long reliever who comes in and mm-hmm. is lights out, right? Like, right. I think that's interesting. Quality starts, I mean, there's flaws with that too. I just wish we were able to change what quality starts means. Like the definition itself is just really incorrect. And the fact that right. people uses it is stupid. And that's like, I think a bigger issue. So like maybe there's an agreement that, you know, maybe it's holds to incentivize more relievers. Maybe it's like innings hit. I don't know that a lot of things have been, I know Philip K through nines don't love quality starts, but I don't have a better option. OPS makes sense. If we're going to have, we need to have an even amount of categories on each side.
Yeah. The problem with pitching categories in general is the quality start definition is bad, right? One, most teams don't let their guys go six innings anymore. And anyone in this league, if you ask them, hey, I pitched six innings, give up three earned runs, was that a good day? They would tell you no. Like it's two mm-hmm. earned runs is where most people believe it should be, right? So, you know, I get it. A 4.5 ERA by any means, no one thinks it's quality. So why is that way? The last one is sort of hybrid. So first I'm going to start with going to Roto in baseball. You know, there's been a lot said about the discrepancy that some teams saw this year categorically, that they were good teams and they were low. And going to Roto would take out that nuance from our league. That, no, I happen to be playing, you know, like right now, for example, Brad and I are playing. I have 11 home runs and Brad has 9. Right now, Brad would have more home runs than most of the league, but me, and he's going to lose home runs. May lose home runs because his team's on fire right now. So, you know, that's the problem, that you just get rid of that randomness by going to Roto.
This is going to be a hot topic because Brad's obviously very passionate about this one and it's like texted us both on the side.
No, this is my vote. There's nothing to do with Brad. This is my vote.
Yeah. I just like, it's, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's the randomness. Like I was like a pro Roto guy for baseball for a while. I like the idea that it's week to week. Like if we're going to do this, do it for all sports. Like Brad was a beneficiary of this in football. This hurt you last year in baseball. Like this is just kind of what happens. I like the randomness of it. Like if everything was supposed to be consistent, then why are we doing a league? Why wouldn't we just like draft guys and just like not, and just let it be played out? Why do add drops? Why do all these other things? Like Roto, a third of the year, you're done. like a third of the year, you're done. Like, you know, just it's, you can't, I mean, I do like in Roto that you can't punt a category because then you're likely to lose. But that's the only pro I have for it other than like, I just see like what's worse than like being knowing that you're out of a league, like, 5 weeks, 6 weeks into it, mm-hmm. 7 weeks into it. Not even like, you know, it's, if you get fucked with injuries to start off, like, you know, like, I mean, there's no coming back from that, right? There's no coming back, which I don't know if I necessarily agree with. So that's my negative prick.
Don't disagree. And so let's say Roto doesn't pass. The secondary option is going to a head-to-head points league. So, you know, what we could do here is look at, let's say that on offense, the most common point would be a single. On pitching, you'd probably say strikeouts. You can base level these things in a manner that would say, all right, if there are, you know, on average 4.5 to 6 singles a game, okay, well, there's 1.5 to 3 doubles a game. So you could make doubles worth 3 points and you could make triples statistically. So that everything balances out, right? The rarer the occurrence, the more points you would score. You keep it head to head so that, okay, you're eliminating some of the chaos, but then maybe I'm not getting categorically wiped out just because a guy, where some of these stats are very synonymous, right? Odds are if you're a starting pitcher with high Ks, your ERA and WHIP are probably low. Odds are if you're a home run hitter, I'm getting runs and ribbies too, every home run I hit. So it kind of means it would just balance it out from a point scale a little bit more and eliminate some of the chaos, but still keep you head to head.
Is this supported by Yahoo?
I do believe I'd have to confirm every rule that will be a deal breaker, even if it passes.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't put it in. I was like, sorry, it's not a thing. But I have seen in football that there is a head-to-head points option. So I imagine it exists for baseball as well.
My thing is, it sounds confusing. I need to like get into it and what it would mean and how it would change. And like, you know, I don't draft guys to the doubles right now.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that would change the strategy altogether. I also don't know how that really changes because like a guy in 1 week could have 8 doubles, the same guy the next week could have 0 doubles, right? So I don't know how that helps the non-head-to-head solution.
Okay. I'm looking it up right now. Scoring settings. That was the last vote. They do have a head-to-head points league for Yahoo that is set up. And it has, okay. It comes with like its own recommendation that it would be for just a really quick example. You get 2.6 points for a single, 5.2 for a double, 7.8 for a triple, 10.4 for a home run. And then there's runs, ribbies, walks, hit by pitches, stolen bases, hit by pitches, weird. And then they do saves, wins, Ks, earned runs, outs, walks, hits, and hit by pitches as well.
It's interesting. I just don't know how it solves the
problem.
The problem of head-to-head, because some guys are going to have more in 1 week than another. And like, I can see, you know, Brad, whatever, you're championing this, but I can see Brad still saying, oh, it's head-to-head. And, you know, Johnny Santander hit 7 home runs. So now he has 70 points this week, whereas the week before he had 6 or he had 1. You know, like, I just don't think it changes drastically.
Shout out Santander. What a fucking legend.
All right, we got to call it.
All right, guys.
Thank you, losers.
Make sure you listen. Let us know how it goes.
We'll see you guys in 1 week, less than a week by the time you hear this.
If anyone brings La Crema, I swear to God, I'm voting you out of the league.
La Crema, baby.
Bye, guys.